الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Continuing with the discussion on the 16 juz, amongst the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed towards us, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and associate with the pious, the truthful, the noble. Now one might ask, to what extent do we have to associate with the pious? Here is a verse of the Quran in the 16 juz, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. This was Nabi Sassim's request to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. O Jibreel, is it at all possible that you can visit me more often and we can spend more time together? It's mentioned in the books of Seerah that again amongst the accolades of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the respective Anbiya, with utmost respect to their positions, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, in a period of 950 years of prophethood, was privileged to interact with Jibreel alayhi salam 50 times. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam 48 odd times. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam 48, 50, variating. But in a period of 23 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam had the privilege of interacting with Jibreel alayhi salam 24,000 times. I've read the narration myself. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Nuh alayhi salam 48, 50, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam between the 50, 51 mark, in and around that year. And in 23 years, what's the command of Allah? Allama Nawawi in his famous writings of, his Riyadu Salihin, he brings this ayah under the topic of visiting, associating, interacting with the pious. So here we have the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam having the opportunity to interact with Jibreel alayhi salam 24,000 times in 23 years. And what does he say? What does he say to Jibreel? Zurna akthara mimma tazuruna. Jibreel, man, I'm really pining to see more of you. I'm yearning to see more of you. And you know, if we and then again, look at the beauty of the Quran. The ulama say that when Allah has instructed us to associate with the pious, by subtle reference, that is a guarantee that throughout the times till Qiyamah, the pious will remain. Because Allah would have not enjoined an injunction which Allah doesn't facilitate and Allah doesn't provide. So Allah has said associate with the pious. That means the pious will remain. Yes, they will be reduced considerably in their numbers. But the fact that Allah has made this incumbent, Allah will facilitate and provide it. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, on his behalf, Allah revealed the verse, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are not at liberty to descend when we decide. Another privilege of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Jibreel alayhi salam, no Nabi out of the 124,000 Anbiya that came had the privilege of seeing Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form. Only Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the opportunity, and not once but twice. No other Nabi ever had the opportunity to ever see Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form. One was at Sidratul Muntaha on the night of ascension to the heavens, and one was at the inception of revelation. The size, the structure, the physique of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam is so huge that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen him in his original size, it had covered up the entire horizon. It had covered the entire horizon. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّ فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. The interpretation of this ayat are very, very intricate. And the scholars have a very robust debate at this juncture. Are these verses referring to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeing Jibreel alayhi salam or seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's very robust, it's very philosophical, it's extremely intricate. Mushkilatul Quran is a science which deals with the intricacies and the complexities of the Quran. And even in this book, the preferred opinion is given that the inference is to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seeing Jibreel in his original form and not to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the preferred verdict given. But in there is also the mention of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seeing Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. So what does he say? Jibreel, can I have more time with you? And you know, this was the beauty of Sahaba, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to go and visit Umme Ayman radiyallahu anha. She was a great woman. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had paid tribute to her and he said, anybody who would like to see a woman of paradise, then he should look at Umme Ayman radiyallahu anha. And Umme Ayman radiyallahu anha was the slave girl of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Her name was Barkat. And then when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, then she came as custody to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother passed away, then this slave girl came into the inheritance and into the custody of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also afforded her the honorable title of my mother. Who in history will dignify a slave girl and honor her with calling her a mother? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had used the title mother, innaha ummi, on Umme Ayman radiyallahu anha. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would go and visit Umme Ayman radiyallahu anha. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu said to Umar, Umar, come, let's continue with the practices of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and let's go and visit Umme Ayman radiyallahu anha. Sometimes perhaps as children, our parents took us to meet the pious, to associate with the pious. But how many of us continued with that contact? We knew there was an elderly man, there was a woman in Medina Munawwara. I marvel at this woman's honor. It's documented in Bukhari Sharif that on a Friday after Jummah Salah, Nabi Sassam and his Sahaba used to come to her house and this was routine. She used to prepare the Friday meal. I mean, look at the honor of this woman every Friday, and she used to create a delicacy with beetroot. This is also mentioned in the narrations itself. You know, we sit and wonder the honor and the privilege of this woman that she had Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba at her house daily. So after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went with Umar to Umme Ayman to continue that practice of associating with the noble and the pious. And she said an amazing thing. She cried and she said, I am not crying over the demise of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as I am crying over the termination of revelation. And you know, Safiya radiallahu anha's couplets come to mind. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, she said, Ala ya Rasulallah kunta rakha'ana wa kunta bina barran wa lam taku jafiya. وكان بنا برا رحيما نبينا ليبكي عليك اليوم من كان باكيا لعمري ما أبكي النبي لموته ولكن لهرج كان بعدك آتيا أفاطم صلى الله رب محمد على جدث أمسى بيثرب ثاويا أرى حسنا أيتمته وتركته يبكي ويدعو جده اليوم نائيا Fidan li Rasulillahi ummi. It's long couplets, it's very, very emotional. Effectively, in essence, she says, oh my Nabi, you were this amazing human. You were kind, you were gentle, you had the soft touch. Then she says this, and for me, the stanza of the poem is the highlight. She says, Wallahi ma abikin nabiyya li mawtihi, walakin li harajin kana ba'daka atiya. Oh my Nabi, I am not crying on your death as much as I am crying over the chaos that will reign on this earth as a result of your death. The mayhem, the anarchy, the planet will slip into because your presence is this protection and it's a shield against so much catastrophes. I am more worried what's going to happen to this world when you move on. That makes me cry more than the fact that we're burying you. And Fatima radiallahu anha said, Mada ala man shamma turbata Ahmad, Alla yashumma mada zamani ghawaliya. If you were the fortunate man to lower my respected father in his grave, and you touched the fragrance or the sand on the blessed body of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rest assured you will be independent of every fragrance till you die. Because the richness of the fragrance that will emit from the blessed soil of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be greater than any fragrance you can ever think of. In Tabarani there is a narration, Umm Asim radiallahu anha says,
كنا أربع نسوة عند عتبة ابن فرقد السلمي. We were four women that were wedded to our husband عتبة ابن فرقد السلمي رضي الله عنه. وما منا امرأة إلا وهي تجتهد في الطيب. And every one of us used to try and apply the best of deodorants, the best of fragrance, the best of scent, لتكون أطيب من صاحبتها, so that we could excel our co-wife. Competition is healthy for the consumer. And what they say, multiple political parties is a healthy democracy. That's a democracy in the making. That's healthy democracy. This is good politics. Okay. So anyway, we used to apply this best type of عطر and fragrance. وَمَا يَمُسُّ عُتْبَةُ طِيبًا. And our husband عُتْبَة never ever owned an عطر, never mind applying it. وَهُوَ أَطْيَبُ رِيحًا مِنَّا. And he always had the best fragrance. So I mean, one day I said, no man, wait, this is now strange. I need to get this thing and resolve this. I sat him down. I said, listen, you know, we try our best to apply the latest, the best to attract you, to outdo our co-wives. I never ever seen you applying anything, but subhanAllah, you always give off this aroma and this beautiful scent and this wonderful fragrance. Give us the secret. He said, during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I had this itching syndrome, right? You know, I'm reminded of one couplet of Imam Shafi. You tend to get these, sometimes you have these small pimples on your back. If I'm correct medically, they call it tinea vesicula. I don't know. I'm getting Dr. nodding his head. The tinea vesicula, that's what I'm told, right? I learned a few words. Okay, so this thing is like here, it's very small, excessive water. Medically, though, they say it can create this tinea vesicula. You know, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said it so beautifully. He said, مَا حَكَّ جِلْدَكَ مِثْلَ ذُفْرِكَ فَتَوَلَّ أَنْتَ جَمِيعَ أَمْرِكَ. He said, when you're trying to itch or scratch something, an irritation on your back, then you tell someone, lower down, okay, to the right, okay, slightly up, okay, no, oh, leave it now, I'll do it myself. What did he say? He said, مَا حَكَّ جِلْدَكَ مِثْلَ ذُفْرِكَ. None can satisfy the irritation on your body like you yourself. So learn a lesson from that. What's the lesson? فَتَوَلَّ أَنْتَ جَمِيعَ أَمْرِكَ. Learn to embrace your activities with your own hands. Don't ask other people to scratch for you. Today, the world, I gave a talk in Canada last year in December. MashaAllah, was this amazing, 20,000 people, jam-packed audience, was really great. And I spoke about this here. I said, you know, the world has slipped into this feeble excuse. Anything, you know, just shield yourself and block yourself. Blame it on this, blame it on your genes, blame it on your ancestry. You're a victim of this, you because of this one, because of that one. So the gentleman went to the doctor and he had this reflux problem and everything. So the doc said, you know what, you've got an abdomen here, my friend. You are obese, we have to treat your obesity. So he said, no, obesity runs in my family. Usual. Doctor said, no, obesity don't run in your family. Nobody runs in your family. What he said? He said, obesity runs in my family. He said, no, obesity don't run in your family. Nobody runs in your family. That's the problem. You know, it's like, I'm a victim. This has happened at that time, and because of that, and because of this. So, مَا حَكَّ جِلْدَكَ مِثْلَ ذُفْرِكَ. Nobody can satisfy the irritation on your back like you yourself. فَتَوَلَّ أَنْتَ جَمِيعَ أَمْرِكَ. So embrace your actions with your own hands. So anyway, I had this itching syndrome on my body, and I came to Nabi alayhi salam. And I said, oh Nabi of Allah, I've got this itching syndrome, right? Calamine lotion and whatever. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remove your clothing. فَتَجَرَّدْتُ عَنْ ثَوْبِي. I removed it. وَأَلْقَيْتُ ثَوْبِي عَلَى فَرْجِي. And I put the clothing over my private area. He then read and blew in his blessed hand. فَمَسَحَ بِهَا بَطْنِي وَظَهْرِي. And then gently he passed his blessed right hand over my belly and my back. It's been that day to this day, the fragrance has never left my body. It's been that day to this day, the fragrance has never left my body. So my wife, good luck, go for it. But the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is moved on, you will never get that. Now I never had this pleasant encounter, but on the reverse, I had the unpleasant encounter. After shaking some people's hands, the foul smell didn't leave me for many weeks. Right? I used all the lemons in the house.
the detergents, the soap, the liquid, the Dettol, you name it all, and the foul smell and the unpleasant odor never left. But subhanallah, this was the amazing, the blessedness of the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the fragrance continues and continues. So anyway, coming back to that first advice that we spoke about, the need to associate with the pious, that more and more. So Allah revealed the verse, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ. We only come down on the command of Allah. لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Your Allah never forgets. So whenever there is a time for Jibreel to come, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will send him. Thereafter we recited obviously Surah Taha, and another name of Surah Taha is Kaleem. Kaleem, which was the title of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Because in this surah, Allah speaks in great length about the amazing tale and incident of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and this great anecdotes and lessons from this amazing tale of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. But this one particular thing is so amazing that when Allah instructs the mother of Musa alayhi salam, now reflect over this here, and this is the power and the magnanimity and the grandeur and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells the mother of Musa that drop Musa into a basket and put the basket in the river Nile, right? And what does Allah say? Leave the basket to sail. I've arranged for my enemy to receive him. These are the words of the Quran. Oh my word. These are the words of the Quran. Number one, look at the system of Allah, that Allah will defy what you want to do. You know, you read these books, catastrophes that defy human science. Goes against the grain. Hello, there's a greater being above you. And that's the being that we are inviting towards. So if you send, I mean, in Dubai, you see this place here, I guess it's at all airports. Al-Atfal As-Sughar Biduni Murafiq. Minor travelers without guardians. And you see these children playing there. And you know, every time you're walking past, I can even tell you by which two gates it is. You see them hanging around there, these minors without any guardians. And obviously somebody to usher them, to take them, to give them some care, etc. So here is this minor as an infant baby. And you know, the crew will pride themselves, or the airline will pride that on both ends, we will inform you, we will notify you, we will update you, we'll send you regular text message. Allah says to the mother of Musa that وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَى أَنِقْذِ فِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ فَاقْذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ يَأْخُذُهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. Oh my word. What is the qudrat of Allah? We said to the mother of Musa. Now again, look at the strength of the mother of Musa. Allah is telling her, she was told that put your son in this basket and I've made arrangements. I told my enemy to receive him. What was the iman of this? I mean, you see how many times, right? The other day I flew to Cape Town for a program, so my Huzaifa came with me. So his mother is like, please, but I'm like, hello, I'm the father. Okay, right, we'll eat. I travel the whole world, we won't die. Yeah, he'll sleep, he'll eat. Okay, he's in good hands. Right? And she's like, you okay? You'll be good? How's Huzaifa? Find out how I am also. So a mother is sending her son with her with the child's biological father, and she has so much emotions and concern. What was the strength of the mother of Musa that Allah told her, I have sent my enemy to receive? Yes, the Quran said, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We put that added strength and conviction into the bosom of the mother of Musa to comply diligently to the dictates of Allah and to allow this basket to sail. Otherwise, in her motherhood, كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَرَّبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. In her motherhood, she was on the verge of divulging it. Hey, stop that basket and bring it back. It's my basket and it's my baby sailing in. But we kept it on track. Allah said, يَأْخُذُهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. My enemy is waiting. He will be at the shore. He has been dispatched. He has been informed. And he's been told, please receive. And for the record, the Quran doesn't say my enemy. I have sent Fir'aun, who is Musa's enemy and my enemy. But he's under instructions to receive him. These are the words of the Quran.
يأخذه, he will be received. عدولي وعدو الله.
Okay, my Allah, Musa's enemy, your enemy. What measures have you put in place to insulate, to fortify, to protect him, oh my Allah?
وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَى عَيْنِي.
Oh Musa, Allah addressed this to Musa after he received revelation. I had put such beauty on your face, such attraction on your face, that even your enemy melted at the glow from your blessed face. You know, it's tragic that when we have to create parables, we have to make these analogies of lust. Because other than that, you know, unfortunately, our mind hasn't tasted the pure love of the pious. So I remember once I was driving, and this person on the right, and then somebody comes and, you know, cuts him very abruptly. And this guy is in full rage and anger. And as he gets close, he sees this most beautiful woman. And suddenly all that rage was swallowed and dissolved. And he's like waving hands and doing funny actions, right? I won't say more. So what happened, man, with this rage and anger and bitterness and all that was mounting was gone. Because now it's lust. Allah had put such beauty on the face of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was salam that nobody could possibly harm him. He wasn't sent, there wasn't a contingency of angels or anyone protecting him. Allah says it was this beauty, this affection, this glow on your face that was the attraction. And because of that, even Pharaoh could not harass him. So that is the amazing qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah could send the enemy of Musa to receive Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Another point in the incident of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is the incident of Samiri, the person who initiated the worship of the calf. And when Musa alayhi salam returned, then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam first admonished his brother, and he said, Ya Harun, ma mana'aka idh ra'aytahum dhallu. Oh Harun, I left you in charge. You seen they're going astray. Couldn't you put your foot down and bring about some discipline here? He said,
إني خشيت أن تقول فرقت بين بني إسرائيل ولم ترقب قولي.
You know, I applied my mind, and that's what we call ijtihad. And I applied my mind, I calculated, I brainstormed, and I felt that if I'm going to engage with them, it could result in two factions and two groups, and that might provoke and incite you more. So then Musa alayhi salam, you know, appreciated the wisdom and the foresight and the thinking of his brother. He then admonished and reprimanded Samiri, the man who initiated the worship of the calf, and said to him, "Ma khatbuka ya Samiri? What got into you? Why you did what you did and started this whole story?" And he even made the claim to say, "Musa is gone to Mount Tur, but here's his God. I don't know where he's gone for." So what did he say? And this is what I want to highlight on, because today, unfortunately, when you look at the irresponsible marketing of billboards, I mean, where has our society gone? You know, you're not speaking to an intelligent audience. You know, you're not speaking to a matured audience. You are speaking to children. You are speaking to immature. You're speaking to youngsters in the prime. And so many of these billboards give off such nasty messages. So when Musa alayhi salam asked him, "What made you do this?" "Ma khatbuka ya Samiri?"
قَالَ بَصُرْتُ بِمَا لَمْ يَبْصُرُوا بِهِ فَقَبَضْتُ قَبْضَةً مِنْ أَثَرِ الرَّسُولِ فَنَبَذْتُهَا وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي.
If I may make a loose translation of this, and I'm paraphrasing at this juncture, as the average youth will say, "I felt like doing it." Why you did it? Because I felt like. Why you did it? For the kick, for the thrill, for the buzz, for the feel, just for the know-how. وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. It was this very thing, for the kick, for the thrill, just to see, just to... I had a case the other day, Allah puts a thought in my mind. Oh my word. So the sister phoned me and she said, "I'm traumatized and everything, and my husband listens to a lot of your lectures and he takes a lot of solace from it. We're in a dilemma." I'm okay, what's the problem, sister? You know, my husband's a great man, he's a wonderful man, he's a, you know, Allah has blessed us with children and the rest of it. But he's got caught up into substance abuse. So will you please speak to him? So I said, "Okay, sister, give me the number, and then inshallah, very anonymous, and you know, I won't give any indications, because our idea is my own linen is not clean. What am I going to tell you about somebody else? My act is not together, my brother, my house is not clean. Where am I going to tell you about yours? But these are just deterrents. Now listen to this here. وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. For the kick, for the throat. Let's just see. Experiment. I was shaken off my balance. So anyway, I phoned him. He was very obliging, mashallah. He said, you know, I'm so embarrassed that I have to talk to you on these notes. But yes, man, I got caught up, and there's been circumstances, and I slipped into a depression. So the uncle is an elderly man. He's much more elder than me. So I said to him, I guess that you must have had some, back in your early days, in your young days, you had the habit, and this is a relapse. He said, no, nothing like that. Allahu Akbar. You know, brothers, we're living in scary times. We're living in scary times. That's why I said we need to come back to the drawing board. And we need to start reassessing our priorities. We need to see if our compass is right. What are our visions in life? Where do I want to go? I want to evolve. I want to grow. I want to get bigger and bigger. But you know what? Things are happening at that same time. And by the time I get to that goal of mine, I could have well lost my children. I could have well lost my children. So I'm like, uncle, sorry, just to put me into perspective, then inshallah I will counsel you and advise you and give you whatever my experiences are and whatever Quran and Hadith has to offer. He said, I had no habit, smoking, obviously we had that habit, not to trivialize the nature of smoking. My son slipped into this problem. My son got into it, we noticed erratic behavior, the usual syndromes, rebellion, not eating, becoming thin, etc. So one day, we kept on engaging with him, he denied. One day we opened his trouser pocket and we find this powder inside. So I smelled it, got a smell. We challenged him, we engaged him, and obviously now he had to admit that, yeah, this is the thing that I've been taking. He says, I'm naive, I'm in the dark, I don't know. I said, these youngsters are getting such a thrill out of this thing here. Let me taste it and see what's this all about. He said, my son is clean and I'm messed. I'm in the house of Allah. My son is clean now, he's got his act together, he's there. I said, what's the thrill about this whole thing? I mean, can it be so addictive that people will pawn their children and their homes and everything for one drug, for one tablet? I mean, after all, what's it all about? So I said, let me try, see what's the whole thing. He said, my son is clean and I'm the one that's messed up now. Now, can you imagine how challenging this is? وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. I felt like, I said, let me try. Let me see what's it all about. And that brought the whole destruction of that nation. And then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam reprimanded him. So to succumb to the provocation of your ego, in English they say, every time you surrender to your ego, you get temporary relief and the vice gets a tighter grip around you. Every time you succumb, momentarily you get a thrill. You get a thrill. Those that are involved in illicit relations, for that moment, for that minute, you're having a fantasy. But be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. And if you prove me wrong, I will step off my mimbar. And I will get off. That 23 hours of your life, you're miserable. You'll be sitting in your house with your wife and your children. You'll be out on a holiday. You'll be depressed. Why are you depressed? You won't know why you're depressed. This is the result of sin. Yes, for that moment, you'll get a fake thrill. That's it. If there was no fake thrill, you wouldn't have done the wrong. So for the moment, you'll get that excitement. But long term, you will be miserable in your life. That's the consequences of succumbing to our ego. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us. I'm just going to, you know, expedite things and hop over from the 16 juz into the 18 juz, because I didn't even touch on the 17, and tonight is my last night, inshallah, I will be leaving. So there were a few ayat that I wanted to touch in the 18 juz. So therefore, inshallah, I will just, you know, briefly touch on those ayat in particular. In the 18 juz, it is obviously about Surah Mu'minun, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the attributes, the qualities, the salient features of the believers. Allah commences the chapter by saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the believers are successful. And Allah concludes the chapter by saying, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Indeed, the disbelievers are unsuccessful. So the ulama say the rabt and the correlation. This is a very intricate science of the Quran, and that is correlation between the verse. You have dedicated books that don't speak on the commentary or the translation or the cause of revelation, that only create the links. That is known as a rabt bayn al-ayat, that link and the tie between the verses. So in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the great, great qualities of the believers. One out of it, there are many things in it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. One amazing quality of the pious are those, they do not bother themselves about things that do not concern them. In the sense, you know, getting into the affairs of people, getting into the matters of people, poking their nose and probing the issues of people, not to help or to reform or to rectify, but just to keep themselves abreast with the gossip of the society. This is not the case of a believer. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Min husni Islam il mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." Part of the beauty and the excellence of the submission and the faith of a believer is he keeps clean from things that will not benefit him or harm him. He keeps clean from those things. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. And don't claim knowledge about things which you don't know. And don't go and poke your nose. If you can be of assistance, then speak about it. And if you cannot be of assistance, then back off from it and make dua about it. But you say, did you hear about this one? Did you hear about that one? No, this is not. For many people, every day, they have a different tale on the dinner table, and that's the gossip of the dinner. Either the woman brings in a tale, or the youngster brings in a tale, or the husband brings in a tale, and then they sensationalize it, and that's the discussion on the dinner table, what this one is up to, what that one is up to. Really, this is not the time to get involved into those things. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who keep themselves clean and clear from it. Rather, they keep themselves involved in the remembrance and in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, in the 18th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in one ayah where Allah speaks about extending the rope and the bait and respite and clemency to the infidels, the transgressors, the sinners, and they have the false notion and the myth that this is favor that has been conferred upon them. It's a frightening ayah in the sense, أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah says, I'm giving him more wealth, and I'm giving him abundance, and I'm giving him fame, and I'm giving him sons. Is he under the notion I'm favoring him? No, I'm releasing. I'm only releasing so that the grip of the fish becomes harder on the bait, and then I can pull harshly and abruptly so that he cannot slip from my grip. Does he? Oh, that ayat gives me a shiver. These are the. Let me give you the verbatim translation. Does he think? Yahsabun, think. Annama, verily we. Numidduhum, assist. Mimmal, with wealth. Wabaneen, sons. Nusari'u lahum fil khayrat. We are hastening in making good available. But la yash'urun. He is in a delusion and a deception. I'm not there to give him this to help him. These things are given to him with a distorted nature. He'll exploit and abuse it. So he won't do the wise thing and use it objectively in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he will exploit it in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ. Then Allah says, those who fear Allah, those who obey Allah, those who comply, these are the ones that Allah favor. That is why Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi used to say, الْمُؤْمِنُ جَمَعَ إِحْسَانًا وَشَفْقَةً وَالْمُنَافِقُ جَمَعَ إِسَاءَةً وَأَمْنًا. A believer combines the fear of Allah and the obedience of Allah, while the munafiq combines within himself the disobedience of Allah and he is complacent about himself. And Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi used to say, if I may sum up the Sahaba in one definition, it was a group of people who feared Allah more after obeying him than how much you fear Allah after disobeying him. If I have to sum up the Sahaba in one statement, it was a group who feared Allah more after obeying him than how much. It means I missed my fajr and I don't fear my creator as much as that sahabi after performing fajr. The fear, has Allah rejected my prayer or not? Has Allah accepted it or not? He discharged his charity in the path of Allah. I have not discharged it.
and I don't feel much about it, and after discharging all the wealth, he has greater fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than I have. Thereafter, obviously, we recited Surah Nur, and in Surah Nur, there are the laws pertaining to zina and adultery and fornication. And we know, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, عَلِّمُوا نِسَاءَكُمْ سُورَةَ النُّورِ عَلِّمُوا نِسَاءَكُمْ سُورَةَ النُّورِ Educate your women with Surah Nur. Teach them. Just two things briefly, quickly. I spoke the other day in a ladies' talk, and I addressed the woman by saying that it's unfortunate that many a sisters view certain topics to be a taboo. Right? Polygamy is a taboo. And I'm not advocating do it. But my concern is, as a Muslim woman, you must have peace with the command of Allah. A man can default you, and an individual can fail you, but the system of Allah doesn't fail anyone. In your heart, you cannot be holding any bitterness to the principle of polygamy. You could be having an objection to how this man executed the element and the principle. So the individual, I can have an issue with. But the principle, that is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every Muslim needs to be at peace with every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Individuals, people, you know how many reverts have told me this year in my travels, and how many I have interacted with, and they tell you this, and it's like, you know what, piercing a dagger through your body. They say, you know what, Sheikh, I must tell you, I'm so happy I met with Islam before meeting with the Muslim. I am so happy, because if I met with the Muslim first, I doubt I would have embraced Islam. But I'm so happy that Allah first introduced me to Islam. So when I looked at the Muslim, I knew this is alien, this is foreign, this is not what I read. But had I seen him, had I met with him first, perhaps my perception would be different. So I have failed you, my sister. The system has failed you, but Allah never fails you. And you shouldn't be harboring any bitterness within yourself towards the ruling of Sharia. You shouldn't be awkward and uncomfortable and apprehensive to the idea and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to know these things very, very clear. These are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, when you talk about the damsels of paradise, you know, it becomes an awkward discussion. Ummah Salma radiallahu anha had a lengthy chat with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she said, O Nabi of Allah, can I ask you more? And she was a woman. And who can be more sensitive to this aspect than a woman? Allah Ta'ala has promised you, my sister, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ That Jannah will satisfy every human's every need. That's it. How Allah will satisfy, that's upon Him. Now, yes, there isn't mentioned categorically as they are the damsels for the men. There isn't mentioned the same in the Quran and the Hadith, as I know in my limited understanding, and I could be wrong. But suffice to say that Jannah promises to satisfy every need of yours. So there's no need to become bitter or awkward or unpleasant or apprehensive or skeptical towards this year. Likewise, the aspect of the inheritance. Why I'm saying these things? Because often you find the very religious and the very Allah-conscious woman also begs to differ, and she has a bit of heaviness. And this is serious. One student sat in the company of his mentor for an extended period of time, and then the mentor asked him, what did you achieve from here? He said, before I came, I had heaviness in my heart towards certain commands of Allah. And alhamdulillah, after I've sat here, now I love every command of Allah, and I'm at peace with every command. If at all there is heaviness in your heart towards any command, look here, your ego will have difficulty in executing, that's a separate thing. But your mind must be convinced. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا Say unto them, I invite towards Allah and I advocate monotheism, not as a blind follower, but with an objective mind and a calculated thought process. I have understood. I'm a matured individual. I've applied my mind. And I fully understand every rule of Allah is full of wisdom. And where I cannot comprehend, I direct the feebleness to my intellect and not the blemish to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If at any point I am grappling with any command of Allah, then I need to hasten to rid out those reservations for the preservation and the protection of my iman. That's an integral and a pivotal ingredient of our iman. So when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu was in Jannah, And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that if the devil influences you, then you will be expelled from paradise. Then Allah said to Adam alayhi salam, فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. If the devil influences you out and you expel from paradise, then O Adam, the four privileges that you enjoy in paradise freely, you won't have this outside paradise. That is food, that is clothing, that is drinks, and that is shelter. In Jannah you got this free, but when you'll be taken out of paradise, you won't get this free. The scholars analyze the phrase and the word that Allah uses. Allah says, فَتَشْقَى, you will have to toil for this. But Allah didn't say the same for our mother Hawa alayhi salam. And from that the scholars deduce that these four heavenly privileges and perks that were afforded to Adam and Hawa free in paradise is still afforded freely to a woman in this world. It's afforded free. And my sister, it's not just the burden of those around you to provide for you. Every male has been told, take good care of her if you want Jannah for yourself. So look at the honor Allah has given you. Now understand the whole ruling of inheritance, and it's academic and the time doesn't permit, that at no point are you liable to fend for yourself, leave alone for your sibling or anyone. Yes, you can argue, and I will buy into your argument, that our social networks are not in place. Our men don't have the courage of their confidence. The husbands of today don't have the integrity of their commitments. These are individuals, these are systems that are failing you. But the principle of Allah is pristine. The divine commandments of Allah are unadulterated. They are pure, they are wholesome. So what happens? A woman is told, when she's a girl, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man ala ibnain jariyatain. The one who has two daughters, not two sons. The one who has two daughters and nurture them and raise them and spend on them freely till they mature. Myself and you will walk together in Jannah. My sisters, the privileges of Jannah, are you still being tantalized by the candy that's been dangled before you in the name of liberation, in the name of something else? Hello, can there be a greater honor? The divine miracles and perks that were afforded to Adam and Hawa in paradise still remain for you. And in fact, in one narration I read that when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu was salam descended on this earth, then Allah divinely sent food for him at the zenith of a mountain, at the apex. And then as he leaped forward, as he inched forward to touch the bread went rolling down. And then he had to follow suit. And Allah said, O Adam, well, that will be the rhythm for you and your kids. You're going to have to run behind your sustenance. This is just not, you know, metaphorical. This is literal. That you will have to run. But your wife, she will remain, they have the same privileges. Allah didn't say fatashqiya. Allah said fatashqa. That the burden will come upon you. So upon a Muslim woman, this is the honor. Told that man, you raise her till she matures, till you get her wedded. And then what was the husband told? That if you take good care of her, khayrukum, khiyarukum, khiyarukum li ahlihi, the yardstick of measuring the excellency of a man in the eyes of Allah is judged proportionate to the excellency he displays to his wife. So you are the responsibility of all those around, and it is their pride and not their burden. So it's important that we understand. In Surah Nur we recited about the integrity of a woman. And there was this incident that had obviously occurred where unfortunately the act of zina had taken place, and obviously it had to be, or accusation on zina had taken place and it had to be meted out. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ فَجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا. If you ever blurt a comment of immorality against a chaste woman, oh boy, the entire Shariat comes to the defense of the honor of this woman. Do you know how sacred the honor of this woman is? وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ. Those who hurl accusations over chaste women. This is the key word. You must be chaste yourself, my sister. If you don't have chastity and you are loose in the manner in which you present yourself, and you are not protective and you don't pride yourself with your garb and your modesty and your morality and your bashfulness, then obviously this is not something that's going to concern you. And they cannot produce witnesses on their accusations. فَجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا فَجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا Then flog them 80 lashes. وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا And if he come tell you that the moon has been sighted, tell him, we don't trust your evidence and your testimony. If you can accuse my sister, tough luck. You can go and give your own evidence to whoever you want to. We don't buy into your testimony. And the narration of Tabrani, قَذْفُ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ يَهْدِمُ عَمَلَ مِئَةَ سَنَةٍ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the accusation, accusing a chaste woman, destroys the ibadat of 100 years. Oh my sister, study your books, understand where your honor lies, appreciate, and don't feel honored by this year. Recently when I was flying, and it was a long flight, it was business class, and there was this Muslim sister there, and as well as part of the cabin crew, Allah is my witness, I'm in the house of Allah. And this thing hurt me. Her name was here, like it would be on anyone as part of it. And she carried the name Hafsa. My mind could only go to Hafsa, the daughter of Umar radiallahu anhu. And my mind could only go to the time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended divorcing her, and Jibreel came down and said, Irji'ha fa innaha sawwamatun qawwamatun wa annaha zawjatuka fil jannah. Jibreel came and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, Allah has instructed you that you must retract your intentions, because Allah has decreed that Hafsa will be your wife in this world, and she will also remain your spouse in Jannah. This is in my mind. Allah be my witness, and I'm seeing this woman pouring alcohol. I cried within my seat. I said, does the Muslim woman of today know? And does the Muslim brother know, my brother? You're getting onto a chat, you're getting into a club. Do you know where you're dragging that name into? Your name is Abu Bakr, and you're onto this haram chat, you're into this haram club, you're dining and whining. Hang on, man. You know, can you strip yourself of that name, if any way? And if you can't strip yourself of that name, then honor the integrity of that name. Pay tribute to the richness of that name. But don't carry this name and compromise that name. That one side Hafsa meant, oh Muhammad, don't divorce. Don't divorce. Allah has decreed she's your partner in Jannah. And I'm sitting there, and Allah is my witness, in my plane, in my seat, I'm sitting, and it's burning me and it's paining me. I said, Allah, where has this ummah fallen? Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, oh ummah, oh Muslim ummah, you have fallen so much, you have fallen so much that there's no more place to fall. You have fallen so much that there's no more place to fall. I'll leave you with two ayah. One is the concluding verses of the 18 juz. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةٍ Oh, look at the richness of Quran. Like I said, if, mashallah, I got some positive SMSs from brothers who said that really you've stimulated me in this week and I intend pursuing Islamic studies. Alhamdulillah, brother was asking how to do. Obviously, you got to take it forward. I cannot. Like any person who wants to find a doctor and you are told there are only two surgeons in the country, you will make 500 calls to find that doctor. And when you finally find him, you're not going to be, you know what, you need to make your number more accessible. No, thank you, man. I feel so honored you've taken my call, man. Thank you so much. You know, no problem. Whatever the fees are, that's fine. But just the fact that you give me an appointment is good. It's my search and it's my quest to find my Allah. Search for it, my brother. Cry up in the early hours of the night. Oh, my Allah, my time is running away. My time is running away. I haven't even understood Fatiha. I've memorized textbooks. I've read this. I've read journals. I've read bulletins. I've read articles. I've covered this. How much have I done with my Allah? So anyway, two ayah. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً Allah said, we have made one a test unto the other. We've made one a trial unto the other. And in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthman, it is written, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have created the disbelievers to test your level of sabr. And O disbelievers, we have sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to examine your levels of compliance. O parents, Allah has created children to see how much you can persevere in molding them. O children, Allah has sent your parents and your guardians to comply to them and to obey them. O ummatis, Allah has sent a Nabi for you to obey. Try every relation out.
وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنًا. Look at the comprehensive and voluminous nature of the Quran. وَكَلَامُ رَبِّي لَا يَجِيءُ بِمِثْلِي. Allah is my witness. Allah is my witness. Often when I'm flying and I'm at that altitude, and then I just have this thought and I start crying. And you know, when it's business class, it's nice. You cover yourself and you cry within. You cry out and you say, my Allah, you know, you've given me this Quran. You've given me this deen. Can I ask you for more? Can I ask you for greater? That I could think of Quran. I could reflect over Quran and understand the richness of Quran. Look at in 1.5 line, what does Allah say? We've made one a test unto the other. Right? I give you one example. Then Allah says, Atasbirun. Are all of you collectively going to persevere and endure? Then Allah says, وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. The one that is persevering and the one that is inflicting the harm. Listen, both of you, Allah is watching both. Allah is watching. So you know, sometimes there's this brother who's a revert, and he said, I've read the translation of the, and mashallah, he learns a lot, and I really salute him. Every time I go to him, he'll take out the ayat. He said, explain to me the sheikh. He'll take out the hadith. He says, tell me this here. He says, but the ayat of the Quran that makes me cry the most, وَمَا كُنَّا عَنِ الْخَلْقِ غَافِلِينَ وَمَا كُنَّا عَنِ وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا وَمَا كُنَّا غَائِبِينَ وَمَا كُنَّا غَائِبِينَ. He says, this ayat makes me cry the most. What does Allah say? And we are not absent to any situation. And we are not absent. So sometimes you've seen this carnage in Iraq, or you've seen this catastrophe in another, and you're like for a moment there's this twinge, like what's happening? Allah says, we're not absent. We're not absent. We're aware. So Allah has created one as a test to the other. Tasbirun. Am I making sabr? Are you making sabr? Wa kana rabbuka basira. Allah is watching. And then another verse we recited, and I want to end it on this note. Hopefully it can stimulate you into thought. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask everyone, كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. How long did you people stay in this world? This will be a question posed to both the occupants of paradise and the dwellers of hell. May Allah save us from that and make us amongst the first category. So they will say, لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِّينَ. لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِّينَ. Allah, we confuse maybe a day or perhaps half, but not longer than a day. So then Allah will say to both the dwellers of paradise, fortunate indeed are you that you've managed to secure my permanent joy in this half a day of yours. And really, woe to you, the occupants of hell. By your own confession, you stayed for so little while, and yet you could not earn my happiness. In such a little while, you've made yourself deserving of permanent doom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. I leave you with this English quote that really stimulated me. In English, they say, a long life might not be good enough, but a good life is surely long enough. Allah grant us all the understanding.
Buy Islamic media, CDs, CD-ROMs, MP3s, and DVDs at SOKIslam.com. Secure online shopping available 24 hours a day. That's SOKIslam. SOKISLAM.com.